One of the things I remember growing up in the community that I was in was the names of one of the banks, the local banks, and how in the name of the bank, it was the so-and-so bank and trust. As many banks at the time had the word trust in their name, they wanted to convey a sense of encouragement and comfort to people to put their money with that certain bank because they could be trusted, their money would be safe there, among other things. And as I started to think about the scripture this week, about trusting in the Lord with all our heart and leaning not on our own understanding, I started to think about what it meant to the people who read it in the time that it was written and what it means to us today, truly what it means to us today in our spiritual conditions. The book of Proverbs itself was written by Solomon. He's identified as the author of not all of the Proverbs, but most of them. But he's identified as the author, the son of David, king of Israel. Proverbs are moralistic pronouncements and comparisons. In other words, you take a moralistic idea and pronounce it and you compare it in terms of what happens when you live that way compared with what happens when you don't. And it deals with results when wisdom is applied compared with results when wisdom is not applied. Now, wisdom is not intelligence. Wisdom is not what you know. It's how you use what you know. And Solomon is clear in his purpose for writing Proverbs, for attaining wisdom and discipline, understanding words of insight, acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, gaining knowledge and discretion. He says, let the wise listen and add to their learning, let the discerning get guidance, and for understanding proverbs and parables and the sayings and riddles of the wise. This is purpose in this. As we come to the third chapter, we see that our reading today is in the book of Proverbs under the heading Precepts of Wisdom or Rules of Moral Conduct in Wisdom. Rules and consequences of breaking the rules are the example that Solomon's trying to show us here. That there are certain rules that a person is to live by, and that when you break them, there are going to be consequences. When you live by them, there are going to be blessings in keeping the rules. That's the way it works in life. Solomon's writing was not only relevant for his day, because it is so deep and rich in common sense, in wisdom, and as Paul said, for training in righteousness, teaching and rebuking us. And when you put the Proverbs into motion in your own life and practice them, you soon find that thousands of years later they still stand true in our lives. Solomon says to keep his commands in the heart and they will prolong your life many years and bring prosperity by keeping the commands. Secondly, we understand that this reading itself is under the subheading of trusting and honoring God. And as he begins this third chapter, he says, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commands in your heart, because they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. And he goes into a series of commands about moral principles and the blessings that one can know by living according to those principles. There are five of them. The second one we have today in verses 5 and 6. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Seems pretty straightforward. A lot of us have memorized this. It's many people's favorite verses. But there is so much more to this than what meets the eye. We see, first of all, that there are two positive and one negative commands here. The positive are trust and acknowledge. The negative is lean not. In other words, don't lean on your own understanding. First of all, the first positive one is trust in the Lord. When Solomon writes this, he writes, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And if you notice in the text, the word Lord is all capitalized. This is the way that the word or the name Jehovah was transliterated into our modern English. So he's saying, trust in Jehovah with all your heart. Trust in Jehovah with all your heart. There's 10 sermons in that line. Because today there are many, many gods in our world today. And sadly, so many people are trying to say, well, it's all the same God. We all worship the same God. He just has different names. That isn't true. Because when you start exploring their gods compared with our gods, you find out they're different people. Our God's a God of love. He's a God of power. He's a just God. He's a God of mercy. He's also a God of judgment. So he says, trust in Jehovah with all your heart. The word trust in Hebrew means running to, but not in a reckless manner. Fleeing for protection in a confident manner. So he's saying, flee to the Lord, to Jehovah, in a confident manner. Now, I want to tell you, notice here, this is not something that we do when we find ourselves in a bind, in a mess. This is something we do before we find ourselves in the bind. Okay? This is something we need to be reminded of every day when we sit up in bed and we look out the window and the sun is shining or there's a light in the new day. We're reminded to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Before the journey even begins, we are to flee to God in a confident manner with all of our hearts, figuratively with the very center or the very being of who we are, the basis from which everything else comes. We turn to God for protection in a confident manner. Solomon went on to say in Proverbs 4, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. From your very being, the very being of who you are, the basis from which everything comes, you're to love God. And you're to go to Him for protection. It's like a person goes to the bank, confident that their money's going to be safe, depositing their assets in the First Bank and Trust. It's like a person that gets injured or sick who goes to the emergency room confident that the doctor can do something about their condition. Why do we go to the emergency room? Because we flee there, don't we? We flee there for protection. We're confident that they can do something about it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, from your very being and who you are, lean not on your own understanding, the second being a negative. Don't lean, lean not. When we lean on something, we lean for support, don't we? You know, kind of like those PennDOT guys on the shovels and the rakes out there, don't we? We lean for support. And what he's saying here is, don't look for support in oneself, especially in one's understanding and one's knowledge and thoughts. Don't lean on your own thoughts. Don't lean on what you know or what anyone else knows. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. I remember one day we went down to the Watson Inn for a wedding reception. And the only parking space that was left till we got there was clear out in the back of the lot next to the drop-off where the railroad tracks are. If you've ever been there, you've seen this. There are these big pipes there for protection. And they're painted sort of a ruddy brown, reddish brown color. To look at them, you'd think, man, they are solid iron posts, poles, big pipes. As my son, I guess it's probably been about 3 years ago now, so he would have been about 12. As my son walked up to them to look down over the train tracks, he leaned against them and they gave way and he fell down on the ground down on the train tracks. He disappeared. I heard him yell. I was on the other side of the car and I knew as I walked around the back and he wasn't there any longer what had happened. Those poles, those posts, those rails that were that big around were made out of PVC pipe. Not iron or not steel. You see, in our own understanding, we look at them and it seems one way, but until we get involved, we find out it's another way. And Solomon was saying, don't lean on anything else, on your own ways, on your own understandings. Even though things might not make sense, to do it God's way. We can't lean on our own understanding. Now I want to stop here for a moment. One of the greatest mutinies in modern times happens when we have problems in our lives. What's the first thing we do? We get on our computers, don't we? We get on our computers. We run with reckless abandon in a confident manner, hoping to find some sort of refuge and peace in knowledge. I'm going to get all the knowledge I can about this, and then things will be better. We lean on our own understanding. It's an age-old problem. It can be traced all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Eve saw the fruit, and after being influenced by the serpent, she trusted in her own understanding. Read the text. She saw that it was good for food. It was pleasing to the eye. She leaned on her own understanding. Why didn't she consult God first? Why didn't she say, God, you told us not to pick. Your word told us not to pick from this. But somebody came along and told me that we should, that we'd profit by it. I don't understand, God. I'm a little confused. Why did she do that? No, she didn't. She leaned on her own understanding. And she picked the fruit. Why don't we consult God? She did acknowledge that what God had told her, but she didn't take it seriously. She didn't think that it was a serious part of her life. Instead, we should be tapping into trust@wisdom.God or comfort@praytogod, if you understand what I'm saying. And most of all, we have the manual of life to turn to where there's all wisdom and understanding, and it's the Bible. Every single thing that you come up against in your life is in here, how to deal with it, and the fact that you're not the first person to go down that road. Ecclesiastes tells us that. Whether it's finances, whether it's physical problems, whether it's mental problems, whether it's spiritual problems, whether it's sexual problems, I don't care what it is, it is all in here, and this is where we should consult first and foremost. We want our paths to be straight, don't we? We want our paths to be pleasant. We want our paths to be prosperous. Solomon says, trust in the Lord and don't look to our ways for support. And lastly, the second positive is acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. In all your ways, this implies a roadway, traveling on a roadway, on a journey, a course of life. In all of your ways that you go, everywhere you go, everything that you do, every single day, acknowledge Him. You know what that word acknowledge means? It doesn't mean openly, you know, acknowledge God, oh God, this and God, that and God, God, God to everybody else. What this word means is to know Him. In all your ways, in your journey or your course of life, know Him. Recognize Him. Talk to Him. Be His friend. In other words, acknowledge that He's even there with you to begin with. The first thing that happens is when the phone rings and we hear the message and it's not really good and we put the phone down or we get the letter in the mailbox or the bill in the mailbox, the first thing we do is throw it down and we run to something. And we run away from God. You see what I'm saying? He's saying that in all your ways, in everything, in all your course of life, just simply acknowledge God. God, I know You're here. I don't know why this is happening. I can't deal with it myself, God. But I know that You can. Acknowledging His presence, His power, His perfect understanding, and His salvation. The King James Version says if we do this, He will make your paths straight. I'm sorry, the King James Version says He will direct your paths. The NIV says He will make your paths straight. You know, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. We travel down a road that's got a lot of curves. We don't know what's up ahead. But when the road is made straight, when it's directed by Almighty God, we can see that light at the end of the tunnel. We can see the hope that awaits us. We can see that end result which drives us and pulls us through life amidst all the influences from the outside. Have you ever felt like you didn't know which way to turn? Solomon is telling us here that we should trust in the Lord in all that we are, in all of life, at all points on the journey, in all of our ways. We should not lean on our own understanding, nor trust what we know to support us when the path that we call life seems rocky or unsure. That if we do trust in the Lord, the Lord will clear the obstructions and enable us to go forward in peace and strength. Now, I want to remind you, He may not pave the road. The Bible doesn't say He will, but He will give us strength to walk securely in security and progress. Because as we walk, that's where we gain our strength and our trust in God. Some of the hardest times in my life are the most blessed times, because that's when I grow closer to God. Now, some of you might be thinking, this is a hard thing to do. I've got more problems than you can shake a stick at, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel. God knows that. God knew it before you were even born. But there's three things we have to remember in life. First of all, trust. It's a relational thing. It takes time to trust in God, to grow in that relationship, to look back and say, well, if He did it before, I have no reason to think He won't do it in the future. And go forward in trust. Secondly, to acknowledge, stay in touch with God. I often tell people who are struggling in their journey with the Lord, and they're saying, I'm wondering if God's punishing me for something in my life. I say, no, that's not how it works. God's trying to draw you closer to Him, is what He's trying to do. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He just expects us to stay in touch with Him. Because when we stay in touch with Him, that's when we learn who He is. We learn about His power. We learn to trust Him. And He shows us, I'm in control. He's in control. And thirdly, the encouragement here that Solomon tells us is that if we trust Him and acknowledge Him, staying in touch with Him, He will make our paths straight or direct our paths. He is in command to say, not today, Satan, you don't have control of my servant, and direct our paths and open the Red Sea for all of us and part the sea. We say, well, when? When's He going to do this? How's He going to do this? I've been waiting for years. I don't understand. You see, that's what makes God God. That's what makes God God. We say, how's He going to provide for us? Stop for a moment and open the Bible and start to see how He provided for His people from cover to cover. Because that's what this is. The story of salvation. How God provided for His people over and over and over again. When they didn't trust Him, they fell. When they trusted Him, He lifted them up. What's the Bible say? He who humbles himself will be exalted. He who exalts himself will be humbled. God will exalt us if we just take the time to trust Him, no matter how long it takes. There are many ways that God provides for us. He provides for us in the people in our faith group, in our community, at the hospitals where we work, and where people go to be sick, to heal. He provides in the church. Sadly, so many times people are struggling for years in life. And I say, have you ever come to the church to ask for help? No, I can't do that. That's what the church is for. That's what we're for. Because through the church and the love of Jesus Christ, we help others out. I could go on all day about this. This is great. Great verses, and I see by the time here I still have about another hour to go, because it's only 9:05. Two positives and a negative. Trust and acknowledge. And do not lean on your own understanding. Trust, acknowledge, and He will. Two words. Trust and acknowledge. And the promise is He will. He will. God knows the way of the righteous, even though it be dark and drear. He knows when we're tired and weary, our burdens too heavy to bear. We ask as the shadows lengthen, Lord, lift this burden of care. And often His voice replies, my child, I placed it for you there. with grace that's all sufficient that you might grow stronger in me. So trust, weary child, your Father, he knoweth and careth for thee. And my favorite little thing that I have posted at several places in my comings and goings, in my car, in my desk, that reminds me day in and day out to trust in the Lord in all my heart, to lean not on my own understanding, to in all my ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct my paths. Amidst a thousand snares I stand, upheld and guarded by thy hand. That hand unseen will hold me still and lead me to thy holy hill. Let's pray. Dear God, it is so great to know your words, to know that others dealt with issues like we deal with today in our lives, but also to